Welcome to A Happy Donor, where fresh ideas and fundraising meet. Clear vision keeps people on a mission, and we believe that happy donors are people who feel like they're making a difference, because they are.
What's going on, all you happy people? You are tuned in to the Happy Donor Show, episode 5. And for those of you watching us on video or TV, yeah, it's not the OG club, all right? Yeah. So Happy Donor, where we understand and love the fact that happy donors make the dream work. And we're here today with John White, who is a tremendous fundraising talent, loves nonprofits. John started golf, for goodness sake, about 29 years ago. Is that right, John?
Correct.
Very good. You were talking with us a little bit off screen. You originally were an accountant and went to a golf event and wondered how that golf event was going to raise any money for the nonprofit at that time.
Right, right. Yeah, my first thought in doing a number of golf events or participating in golf events early on was that they really were not a fundraiser. They were a party with a little bit of money going back to the charity, and I just thought that was a little bit counterproductive, because if you've got 120 golfers in your golf event and you're only raising $5,000, why wouldn't you just go find five people to give you $1,000? It's a lot easier, a lot less time-consuming, and I just feel like it's important for us to flip that model, to have less golfers and raise more money, maybe even 10 times as much money as you normally would in a golf event.
Right, right. I guess a nonprofit, putting on the nonprofit's hat, it's an opportunity to raise awareness. You get your donor community to come together for an afternoon of good fun, but their overwhelming question is, what could they do with more funds, right?
Right.
And if they're not getting together and it's not a profitable event, then you guys have figured out a way to do that better.
Yeah, what we do is different than most golf events. Your traditional golf tournament is a participant-driven golf event where people that are coming to the event are the ones that are giving the money. So if you have 120 golfers in your golf event, I'm just using that number, you probably only have about 40 or 50 donors that are giving money, because many of the people are going to be buying a foursome themselves. So we say, let's get outside of the participant-driven model and let's find donors that are not playing in the golf event to give to the golf event on behalf of some of the golfers that are engaging a little bit further into a storytelling campaign. So we engage maybe about 30% of the golfing field into a storytelling ambassador program and challenge those golfers to reach within their sphere of influence through either a letter, a phone call, talk to people in person. Maybe it's a social media post or whatever it may be. We've got an electronic platform for them to do that. And we just ask them to share the story of the organization and challenge people to give at any level. It could be $10. It could be $1,000. Doesn't matter what the amount is. But we're just trying to find thousands of people to give to a golf tournament instead of just 30 to 40.
That's brilliant. I tell you, you know, especially during COVID, the golf tournament's been very popular, right? And they always they have been. But on the other hand, as a nonprofit, it is such a hassle to put one on. You help on behalf of the nonprofit. You help take that hassle factor away as well.
Correct. Yes, we do help organize the event, but I don't call myself an event planner. I call myself a fundraising consultant, because we help you raise so much more money. We're going to have a party on the day of the event. We're going to have fun, and we're going to organize all of that. But if you focus just on the party aspect of it, anybody can do that. But not everybody can raise six figures with a golf event first year. And that's what we pride ourselves in doing, is coming alongside of people or organizations that have been doing a golf tournament maybe for 20 or 25 years, and they've hit a cap. They've hit a ceiling. Maybe they're only raising $25,000 or $30,000 with their golfing field in a traditional tournament. We'll come alongside of that, and we'll triple or quadruple the net for them.
That's beautiful. So it's not just somebody doing a golf tournament for the first time. I've been doing one for a long time. You're the person I can talk to, give a call to, and say, "Hey, how can you help me make this even better?" and
That's right.
And more efficient.
That's right. And it's really by just further engagement. We asked some of the golfers, not everybody, to go a little bit deeper with the story and the message and the mission of the organization. And it's just an effective leadership building and team building exercise over a 12-week timeline that leads up to the event. And it becomes more of a campaign of fundraising, with the celebration at the end of the event, of the end of the campaign, is the golf event.
I love that. And as you're getting these donors of these nonprofits coming alongside of you and willing to participate as a fundraiser, an ambassador, how many times you, I would think you'd have many times where somebody's, you know what, I really wasn't looking forward to this, I've got a busy schedule anyway, but they became a happy donor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we have many of the golfers that play in our events that become these ambassadors that end up becoming part of the leadership of the organization. Wow. They'll become a board member. They'll become some other type of deeper leader of the organization just because they caught the vision. They really got it. The light went on and you know, the bell rang, and they said, well, I want to be involved in a deeper level.
Mark, I don't think we've heard that here on our Happy Donor Show, right? No, somebody go from happy donor to I'm ready to come on board on the board or put me on staff.
To another level.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
So obviously this is the Happy Donor Show, so you're able to raise that bar.
Right.
So for tips for the nonprofits that are following us,
yes.
How do you help raise that bar to get them from just paying for their fee to be in the golf tournament to be actually giving more and being a happy donor and so happy that they take even in further?
I was telling Steve earlier, you know, really what we do is we change the way people think. That's why you're hiring me to be a part of your golf event, because we want to change the way you think in building your leadership and challenging other people. People respond to a challenge. And I always say, if we could turn a check writer into a storyteller, we're not only going to raise more money, but we're going to create more awareness. We're going to build your donor list much higher and much deeper, and we're going to build some good board members for the future. So I just think that it takes a challenge. I think a lot of times we're afraid to ask. I think that we're afraid to challenge people to do something maybe that's a little bit outside of their circle of confidence. And once we do, and once we do that in the right way, there is a certain way of doing that that we challenge and that we teach the charity how to do.
Gosh, that's amazing. I think there's several mic drop moments right there. You know, we've had a couple of those and are fortunate to have that, right? You know, if I got to rewind that a little bit, turn a check writer into a storyteller, right? If your nonprofit organization can focus on how to do that better, your nonprofit will go places.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take any more than 12 weeks before your golf event to do that. A lot of times organizations will live with a golf event for 6 months. We talked about it earlier. Yeah. Just so many man hours, so much effort in putting a golf event together. Why not spend 12 weeks of dedicated time and doing a campaign and making sure that you're not only going to raise more money, but you're going to create a bigger donor base?
What is like the smallest nonprofit? How big of a community do they need to have? What kind of presence, your track record? Could you say, you know what, to our friends that are listening, we can help you?
Yeah. You know, we've been doing this for 29 years. We've done over 2,500 events for nonprofits and ministries. We've raised just north of $53 million for nonprofits and ministries during that time. And I will say this, over all those 2,500 events, if somebody is a small organization and says we need help, I will never say no to anybody that needs help, whether that's a one-person missionary that needs to raise some money for their missionary fund, or whether that's just a small organization that maybe only has two staff members and has a very small board. We'll never say no, even if that person or if that small organization only needs to raise $5,000 or $10,000 with a very few number of golfers. We've had events where we've only had 8 to 10 golfers and raised $15,000, maybe net 10 for the organization. So the model works whether you've got small groups or whether you've got a very large group like the Atlanta Dream Center, which we've worked on together. And there's just a great power in networking and a great power in this particular model.
And you know, that power transcends all different sizes of nonprofits, and I think mindsets as well, where Tell us what just Pebble Beach Concord, you know, level looks like, right? You know, the big time nonprofits, right? You know, the big organizations. And if I could, you know, pat you on the back a little bit, just the doors that you're able to open and events that you're able to provide at that level.
Yeah, you know, we do a number of golf trips for high capacity donors and people that want to have an experience of a lifetime, access to exclusive and private clubs of America, the top 100 clubs in America we've got access to. Mm. And a lot of times we'll take people on those types of trips for 2 or 3 days. It gives an opportunity for a ministry leader or an organizational leader to come and build some vision, build some good relationships with a small group of people. Usually those trips are somewhere between 3 and 7 people. So we have a great time doing a lot of that around the country as well.
You know, I'm thinking there's the tangible part right there where you've raised so much during this period, this 12 weeks or so of the event, but the intangible of how much is raised afterwards. If you've got them bought into the cause, if they're become storytellers, I just think that's just phenomenal of what's going to happen well for the after that, the year and the years following that.
Exactly right. I'll use the Atlanta Mission as an example. We're on our 11th year of doing the Atlanta Mission Golf Tournament coming up this May the 3rd at Peachtree Golf Club. And we started out in the first couple of years raising around $160,000, $170,000. We now are raising over $350,000 every year with the golf event, because our goal is to pay the power bill for my sister's house, which is the Women and Children's Shelter of the Atlanta Mission. And so we achieve that every year. But we have done that because after the event, we engage some of the business leaders in coming down to the Mission to build beds or to paint or bring employees to do a project and to get involved. And that builds good board members as well and good leadership in the future. But you just said it, that fundraising impact is huge even after the event itself. So we say the celebration at the end of a 12-week campaign is great, but we want to take that into the future. So I sign a 3-year contract with every ministry that I work with, because we don't want it to be the end when the golf event happens. We want engagement of those donors into the future.
Oh, I just absolutely love that. And the fact that you understand connecting with the donors. So any other tips that you can provide us is good ways to connect the donor, to get them to feel as though they're, you know, they're making a difference, right? This isn't just about the money. It's connecting to the cause and the fact that they are part of that cause, that what they're doing is actually making a difference.
Right. There are two things. I call it intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation. Okay. A lot of times a golfer initially is extrinsically motivated by the golf course that they're playing, or maybe by the gift that they receive, creating an initial impression of the organization by how you treat that golfer on the day of the event. That's a motivating factor to take that golfer into the future with your relationship, or playing, you know, on a major donor trip or something like that. The second thing is intrinsic motivation. And that's the one that is the strongest emotional connection that you'll ever have with a donor. It's the mission that you do, and it's the emotional connection of the why of your fundraising. So if you do a vision casting, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's 1-on-5, or whether it's 1-on-15,000, if you do an effective way of communicating what you do, having testimonies of other people that have been impacted by your ministry, if you've got a way to intrinsically motivate them and make the charity itself the celebrity at your golf event, that is the celebrity. You don't need a baseball player. You don't need a golfer, or you don't need a football player at your golf event. The charity itself is the celebrity. And you make the charity itself the celebrity, you're going to take people much further than other extrinsic motivations.
How many times have you presented your services to a nonprofit, right? And they go, wait a minute, we thought we were hiring a guy to help us, you know, sell foursomes, right?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, donor engagement, 12-week plan, you know, I'm sure it's like, you know, who are your peeps? And, you know, let's get them in the room and we're going to tell this story together because it's better together.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, I'll say this, you know, I'm a consultant, a fundraising consultant, and you know the definition of a consultant is somebody that looks at your watch and tells you what time it is. but that I think we go a little bit further in that we teach and we coach and we motivate those captains that we're recruiting and go a little bit deeper. And again, we talked about the challenge versus just asking somebody to be a part of something to go deeper. If you challenge people, people respond. And I've never seen a better phrase than, I need your help. If we're going to try to raise six figures in our golf event this year, I need your help to do that. And if you talk, and we talked about businessmen, if you tell businessmen, I need your help to accomplish a goal, they respond. Sometimes people in the charitable or nonprofit industry don't, they're not as assertive in that ask as they need to be.
Oh, I absolutely love that. You know, back in sales, we always ask for the order, AFTO, ask for the order.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Fundraising isn't easy. And a lot of times it's tough, feel as though you're asking them to just give you something. But it is an exchange. And asking for your help means that you're getting them involved. And I just absolutely love that. I have another question for you regarding COVID. So many of the fundraising for the nonprofits that follow us, their models have been turned upside down and have struggled along. Tell me how your model has fit. Lord willing, we're getting near the end of this.
Sure.
But how that fits during these COVID times.
Well, during COVID times, you know, golf has been up 30% across the nation. So golf is still happening. So the day of event golf really is not changing too much. As far as the campaigns, sometimes people are finding a little bit of fear in actually getting together in person for the organizing part of what we do. But those who get past that and actually start working in person with some of the organizing meetings for the captains and for those ambassadors, those storytellers, still very effective. And all of our events this fall, in September, October, November of 2020, full and effective and probably more effective than ever, because donors understand and donors realize that during the COVID times, there are galas, there are fashion shows that just aren't happening, or they're going virtual. And just by nature of what they are, they're just not raising as much money. And so I tell every one of my clients, I said, if you're not effectively using and more efficiently using golf in your fundraising right now, you're missing the boat, because you need to be raising more money with your golf events to supplement some of the losses you've got with some of the other things in your budget.
I love that. I know, speaking for Steve, it's kind of like preaching to the choir here, in the sense that it's times of change. We've got to look at new alternative. Steve being the happy house, a creative way to use real estate. People are still buying and selling real estate. And last I checked, it's going pretty well. To be able to monetize that transaction, be donated to the nonprofit, phenomenal, with a happy house. And Hello Donor, using Change Roundup to help schools and nonprofits raise money in a new and creative way, all of which is fits well within this COVID times and will extend well beyond that. So hats off to you on that one, that we can do that.
No, I'm so encouraged by that too, because, you know, a lot of times, of course, you know, talking behind the curtain here as those that try to help the nonprofit world, Mark and I are proud of the fact that we have a model that is creative. And I've kind of thrown a stone at the golf event, you know, and at the tennis event, that it was just old hat, you know. But brother, you've knocked me out of my seat here today.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank you for doing an incredible job. And you have taught us, and of course, I hope the audience has caught on to this too, to leverage your fans. Mm. Right?
That's right.
You know, they exactly love
right.
you. All right. I'm gonna share with them a few things, teach them, coach them, motivate them, and we're gonna crush it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golfers are a great demographic. And I'll just say that about what I do. Golfers are a great demographic in general. And if you've got somebody like that, whether it's a business person, whether it's a housewife, whether no matter what, you know, they do, they are a great person to have as a donor, but also to have as an advocate for your mission and you'll raise a lot of money.
It's people, people.
Exactly.
It's just being people.
Yeah, so what are we supposed to ask business people now about asking for their help?
I need your help.
Thank you.
That's right. We're achieving some great goals, and I need your help to get there.
That's right.
That. Yeah. So that's one where, of course, I can't drop the mic, but if I could, I would drop it. And it's so simple, so profound that we all can do, and get them involved and to be a happy donor and to let them know that they are making an impact on the mission.
That's right.
I love it. I love it. John, thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Awesome. Yeah.
Folks, our audience, Mark, I really enjoyed your time as well. This
Thank
has
you.
Been
Over
good.
Steve.
Yes, yes.
And how can we find him online?
Yeah.
golfforgoodnesssake.com. There's not an S at the end of sake because a lot of people say sakes, but it's golfforgoodnesssake.com.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you all so much. Take care. Gosh, that was good.
That was awesome.
Way to go, my man.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
Job.
Thank you.
When did this come to you? Like, you know what? They got these fans. They got five staff members that can only make so many calls in a day.
Yep.
But if we get 300, you know, of their donor audience or 40 of their donor audience, you know, it's just the light bulb moments. When
Absolutely.
Did that happen? I mean, on the first day of the first time you went? This
Probably 1989. There was a golf event that I played in. Somebody at my church asked me to play in it. If you've ever heard of Josh McDowell Ministries, he speaks to colleges and high school kids based in Dallas, but he was doing what he called his Why Wait campaign. He was talking about premarital sex and why you should wait to get married before you have sex. He was just doing it around the country. And so we were raising money for his campaign. And so a friend of mine at church said, we're playing in this golf-a-thon. It's 100 holes of golf in a day in the middle of July in Atlanta, of all things. And, you know, you raise money based on the number of holes that you play. So that was kind of the light bulb moment. I raised over $4,000 for Josh's ministry that day, and we had 37 golfers on the golf course, and we raised over $75,000 for his campaign. And I thought, man, this is so much better than all these golf tournaments that I've been playing with that have twice as many, three times as many golfers, but raising 10% of the money. Mm. So let's flip that model. Fewer golfers, more
well,
dollars.
Yeah, take that. Get real with me for a minute. How did that work for John White and his family? You know, I'm going to leave my job, right, as a CPA
or
an accountant?
Actually, I was in the golf industry at that point.
Okay.
I was the assistant golf professional at Peachtree Golf Club in Atlanta.
You were employed at Peachtree Golf Club?
Yes.
And you decided, I want to walk away from that?
Pretty much, yes.
And go?
Yes. Just because I've always had a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit. I've always wanted to own my own business, mm-hmm. and it was not easy. I started this business the year that my first daughter was born, and so I was pretty motivated, as you can imagine, and I'd talk to that microphone about doing a golf event if it would listen, but you know, I got about four or five different ministries in Atlanta, one of which I was on the board of, that we did an event that year. We worked with Right from the Heart Ministries with Bryant Wright over at Johnson Ferry Baptist Church, and we worked with Legacy Ministries, Crawford Loritz, who's a pastor in Roswell now, and a couple of other ministries, Leadership Ministries with Chris White. And we did four events that 1992 year, and we raised over $50,000 with each one of them. And so at that point, I'm a good networker. Those guys sent me a lot of names of people that they knew in ministry, and I just started talking with a lot of Campus Crusade for Christ, Focus on the Family, Promise Keepers, and we started contracting with them and doing this model, and it just exploded. So it took about 3 years to kind of really turn the corner on a business side of things, but it was an adventure, and my family was very patient, but it's worked out well.
Solid, man. Kingdom building. I love it, bro.
Yeah.
Good stuff.